Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Brian Hyatt. This is Rolling Stone Music Now. Today I'm going to bring you the latest entries in our series on some of the best music of 2023, even as we continue to journey further into 2024. This time we'll take a deep dive on a bunch of genres, Afropop, hip-hop, R&B, and more. To do so, I have with me Manka Perconte and Andre G, who both made great lists of their favorite music in 2023. To start out, here's my conversation with Andre, who takes us through his picks for the best hip-hop of 2023. You sent me your list of your favorite hip-hop of 2023, and it's just start to finish really interesting stuff. It just shows how much interesting stuff is going on in hip-hop away from maybe what people see as the center.
Hip-hop is at this point where you can be unfamiliar with the artist, and they have 400,000 monthly listeners, and they just have their own world going on. And you're like, oh shit, I really like this. How have I not been in tune with this all this time? There's plenty of really good, unique music out there. You just gotta look for it a little bit. It's not gonna be necessarily within the sphere of the mainstream. All types of intriguing sounds and artists doing their own things out there. So hopefully this discussion will, somebody listening will come across a new artist they're not familiar with.
And let's start with The Loopers is the artist, and the album is Microphone Fiend. And this is one that's, there's some stuff that is pretty experimental, and this is one of those pretty out there. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah. I obviously really enjoyed it as well. The Loopers has always been one of my favorite rappers because he's just, like you said, experimental and just creatively ambitious. And I feel like that's reflected throughout this project. So on Microphone Fiend, the eponymous song. He's going in over like this smooth soul sample, but then you switch over to a Tweaking and Geeking, and he's rapping more rapid fire over this more sinister, dark production. And from song to song, he's just doing a lot, and you can just tell that it just sounds like he was like, okay, most unique way I could rap on this song? He's an exceptional lyricist to me. And I like an album that, because there'll be artists who are like really good lyricists and they just stick to that format over the same, similar kind of beats. You know what you're getting. And if you like it, you're satisfied with that. But The Loopers, he's very much from song, this album sonically, there's so much going on, so many different influences, tones. He stated on Instagram that the album came from a really cathartic process. He said it like it took a lot out of him to actually create it. And I feel like I hear that process, not necessarily in the content, the lyrical content, but I feel like the process and the creativity was the release, which is like unique to me. Like for art, usually when you think about a cathartic album, it's just reflected in the lyrics, reflected in a very personal, introspective song. But this is reflected for me and like the effort and the passion that he put into just trying the different things that he did from song to song.
He's on Danny Brown's label and is influenced by him, right?
Yeah, he's in Bruiser Gang. And anybody who's familiar with Danny Brown knows that, like, Bruiser Gang from Danny to Zaloop, everybody else, some of the most distinctive rappers out just in terms of their mic presence, their creative approaches. Like, it's left of center would be one way to phrase it for sure.
Fatboy Sharif and Steeltip Dove is a really interesting producer who draws on electronic genres. Sometimes the beats sound almost like something like Burial has that atmospheric thing that there's a song on it, Designer Drugs, that I was like, oh, this literally could be like Burial made this beat. And Fatboy Sharif's a pretty interesting rapper. Tell me about him and this album.
Fatboy Sharif is a rapper from Jersey. He's been rapping for about over a decade at this point. I have to be very like discerning about the adjectives I use because it's just an experience, like a one-of-a-kind experience. I feel like he's a very surrealist rapper. I would say just listening to him, it feels like the way he raps is very free associative and it's very imagery laden. It has a dark surrealist tone, and melding that lyrical approach with Steel Tip Dove's production, it's a very compelling experience. Two songs in particular I want to talk about. There's Brandon Lee, where Sharif is rapping over this like haunting vocal sample. And it's this really surrealist vibe that kind of fits his poetics. And then there's also like Phantasm, which I believe was a single from the project, where he's rapping over like this like noxious kind of guitar riff, which is, it might be the closest production to something courting Mass Appeal, even though nothing on this album does that. Undetachable poison, repose Sodom, supreme knowledge, put a spell on, screaming jail. Those songs are two of my favorites on the project for sure.
And Nappy Nina from Oakland, Morning Dew.
Yeah, so like you said, Nappy Nina is like rapper from Oakland, currently Brooklyn based, a really talented writer. I feel like this project is a balm for people who are just going through things personally. I feel like a lot of the kind of existential things that she explores on the album, whether it's like self-medicating and trying to balance out and navigate all the doldrums of life, that kind of content just really resonated with me, and I'm sure like a lot of others. I feel like she explores from song to song. She has like a rapid fire kind of style, but I feel like from song to song, it's like it's explored and expressed in like different cadences. You'll have, especially on Scuffle from the album, that's, I feel like that's a song that's very like exemplary of what makes her a great MC or a great artist. Just like rapid fire flow over a lush electronic production for the most part. So your patience for trouble. How many times have you been in a scuffle? It be me, my mind
in a tussle. Feelings are coupled, feathers are ruffled. Don't wear no muzzle, free my... But she also is like whispery. It's an interesting combination.
Yeah, exactly.
The next album you had is a collaboration between Jay Worthy, Kamaya, and Harry Fraud. And it's called The American Dream, but the E in American is 3, in case anyone's trying to look this up.
Yeah, I think for SEO purposes, maybe. They got together with Harry Fraud, and they all three of them just gave you what their fans love from them. It's like a really smooth album. It's cruising music. Harry Fraud gave them a really serene, kind of soulful canvas to just do their thing on. I feel like the content lyrically is in line with classic Bay Area content, whether that's the Too Short or E-40 from a lyrical and conceptual standpoint. One of my favorite songs on there is Pull Up with Ty Dolla $ign, which is like they're just going in over this soulful beat with this smooth bass groove and synths whirling around it. Let the whole tools up, don't ask the bitch. If she come back broke, then that's the sim. If you never knock nothing, don't ask me shit. I really enjoyed that one. And then also Good Shit with Max B. I'm always like, I'm always going to push the Max B agenda. So I really enjoyed his presence on that track as well. And the good shit, A&G nigga smoke. Only
the good shit, connect on the kid, Coco, push the good shit. What's up with him being Grimes' stepbrother? That's crazy.
Yeah, I had like vaguely heard about, I didn't really interrogate it too much because I didn't think sonically that would manifest too much in like collaborations or anything. So I didn't really interrogate it, but that's an interesting.
They actually have recorded together back years ago. They made like a Christmas song together.
Wow, that's just all sounds like a random like generator, like Grimes and Jay Worthy on a Christmas song. Like,
so yeah, he's a distant relation of Elon Musk. It's a weird world. So yeah, Mick Jenkins, The Patience.
Yeah, Mick Jenkins, another one of my favorite rappers, just really gifted lyricist, gifted storyteller. My favorite thing about his approach is how he uses wordplay as the canvas for his introspection and his social commentary and the stories he tells. On Roy G. Biv, there's a track where he's like venting about like the consequences of systemic oppression, like coming up through the industry, trying to navigate the industry, like fake friends, etc. But he's exploring it with like color references as like the canvas for the wordplay, which I thought was like really creative. Nigga mug used to call red, roll tie soul had auburn in his head, light brown skin and family traded in shit, used to try to make there'll be an artist who like might explore like colors and light and shading references, but that'll be the entire appeal of the song. But he's like telling a story while he's doing that, which is really impressive. And there's also several collaborations on the track, on the album, Show and Tell with Freddie Gibbs. You gon' have to show me, nigga, can't just tell me.
me shit. Too much talking and you sounding like you selling shit. You gon' have to show me.
Smoke Break with J.I.D., which is like, that's really like jazzy, kind of minimalist beat that allows them to just do their thing lyrically.
No feet going up, fees going up, we pulling up, we throwing up gang signs. Trees going up in flames, find us a forest fire every smoke break. We open.
And Sitting Ducks with Benny the Butcher. I feel like Mick did a good job with all of those tracks in terms of meeting every artist in their sonic wheelhouse.
We apostrophes, seen on size, and all I see are isosceles. Pyramid schemes and the atrocities they causing, ain't no pausing.
You listen to the beat, you're like, oh, okay, I can see why he chose them to collaborate on this particular song.
And then Lil Papa, Half Man, Half Vamp, it's a totally different sound than a lot of other stuff on your list. He's got this melodic flow that reminds me of someone like Polo G or something. It's a whole different thing.
Yeah, yeah, Lil Papa, he's from Jacksonville. He, I guess you could say, is in that Polo G, Young Boy lane where it's like the melodic, introspective rap. And I think I like this project because he's just so vulnerable on it, like even from the intro, like Stop Going MIA, which is like a very meta approach talking about the difficulties of handle fame, being jaded, and the pain he's experiencing, like growing up in the community he grows up in, where constant violence and losing people, and that just like deterring him from his music career. And he's just being like very upfront with his fans about it. Do you want me to stop going MIA? This is why I do sometimes. And you hear that theme at multiple junctures throughout the album. There's also Let God Choose with No Cap, where he's, he raps, if it weren't for all this love of me, I wouldn't go on stage. Fuck it. No, I tell him, cut the cameras. Wireless fill stage or something. Like, why does being in the fishbowl of celebrity feel staged even when it's not? I just found that like really insightful.
If all this love for me, I wouldn't go on stage. Fuck, you know I tell them cut the cameras while this shit feels staged or something. We'll ask you to help me count it, but you're probably.
And so as a whole, it's like a really introspective album. It's like a fun listen. Like you say, he's a melodic rapper. And I just found like an interesting commentary on like the expectations and the unhealthy weight that we sometimes put on artists, especially artists who are literally kids.
Mm.
Yeah.
So yeah, Rome Streets, Noise Candy 5. And Rome Streets is on Griselda. And like a lot of people on Griselda, he really can rap. He's rapping on this album. Anyone who complains about lack of lyricism in current hip hop, whatever, would find nothing to complain about here. I think this is an album that probably is a little bit cross-generational appeal. Old heads, we might say, might find a lot to like on this album.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Rome has been open in the past about his music coalescing or being somewhat of an homage to like the classic 90s like hip-hop sound of just the dense lyricism. And you have that throughout this album. But he also, like, when I talked to him a couple months ago, he was adamant about also showing people that he's able to do different things sonically. So there's a lot of that classic, quote-unquote, Griselda sound that people might know him for, but he also told me that he was adamant about trying something different in terms of, like, more trap-driven production or, like, up-tempo sonics on a song like Pocket Full of Beans.
God, it's something about it, ain't no way around it. Every day I'm counting plenty, pay was drowning in the street. Mommy, pray I make it out. It started with a stone, then I made a mountain.
So Shake and Bake.
Holds in my hotel, was selling stones out the motel. Shit got high, had to switch the lane, be in a different game. Now I take first class flights on four.
Where it's still, like, the top-tier lyricism at its peak, but it's just over a different kind of sonic, a different kind of cadence. And he told me he was trying to just explore different sounds to show the new fans who maybe aren't as up on his catalog that he can do a variety of things. He also told me that he's conscious about how that production will play at a live show, like the more up-tempo songs.
Be Cool Aid is actually a group. It's the rapper Pink Sifu and the producer Ali. And this is probably the vibiest album on your list. It's just, the whole thing's just a series of pretty chill vibes.
Yeah, feels like they were very intent on exploring kind of that maybe neo-soul R&B kind of vibe of maybe like the turn of the century, but with the updated approach to it, just very like smooth, soulful. The title Leather Boulevard is like a concept. It refers to a fictional boulevard where you can go and be cool and be chill. And like, this must be the soundtrack for Leather Boulevard. Just really cool vibes. Yeah, Pink Sifu is a really like sonically ambitious artist. I've heard so many different approaches from him throughout the years, so many different kinds of soundscapes he's explored. I remember I saw him at Afropunk, I think it was last year, and he had two sets of drummers, and it was like a real like rock vibe. And then much later, he releases this really smooth R&B, soulful, jazzy album. And it's just, it exemplifies how talented he is and how boundless he is. And another thing I liked about the album is how like, there are so many songs that I counted 5 songs that are over 5 minutes. Like they really put a lot of care into the production and the movement, and just you'll just have a 30-second space where it's just instrumentation and you could just vibe with it. It's really cool to see in this era where people are trying to game the system with these 2-minute songs or whatever, but it's also just cool to see some acts try like lengthier songs where like it's more verses, more movement, more intention a little bit placed into the songs. Couple of my favorite tracks from this one. One of them is Brandy Aaliyah, which also features Denmark Vesey, Quelle Chris, Jemeta Rose, VCR, Maruf, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, and Camilla. And they all just come together over this really soulful soundscape. And obviously being titled Brandy and Aaliyah, it evokes the memories of classic 90s R&B. Another one of my favorites on this project is Fools with Big Rube, VCR, Butcher Brown, and Ladybug Mecca of Diggable Planet. Above and beyond the so-called norm, just off the thought of being caught up in the torrents of your womanly storm. Pretty cool to see her on there. And it's interesting because there's like this spoken word in the middle of the song by Big Rube. And because the album is so smooth, it evoked like the classic R&B monologue. But then it's also just a spoken word juncture on a rap album that could play almost like a verse. It was just like a really interesting, ambiguous moment that speaks to how many different things are at play sonically on the project.
And this is probably one of the biggest names on the list, if only for the proximity to this artist's cousin. Young Nudie is 21 Savage's cousin. 21 Savage is on this album. That track is the biggest one commercially. And the album is called Gumba.
Yeah, this is one of my favorite. This is one of the most fun listens of the year for me, just because of Nudie's ear for beats. I think that's like the prevailing aspect of Gumbo for me, just like the suite of production that he put together, like the lush synths and just the overall soundscape I'm a big fan of. I feel like there's just something to be said about an artist that like knows their lane. I feel like Nudie, that's Nudie. Like there's not him overstretching or overextending or reaching for a song that might not be necessarily what he's best at. He's just talking his East Atlanta shit, and it just works over like really dope production. And I feel like there's obviously just a real like intentionality and artistry to the entire curation of the project, where whether it's like the cohesiveness of the production down to the song titles all being food, whether that's him just being very cognizant of, like I said, just his what works for him and what his approach is. A couple songs that I like from the project: Peaches and Eggplant, obviously, like one of a song with him with 21, the beginning of which is like one of the biggest memes of the year, one of the biggest, or some of the biggest TikTok of the year, rather. And then there's Portabella, where I think he's doing some of the most interesting things vocally on that particular song. At some points, it feels like his voice is just falling into the beat, the way he inflects or he like varies his inflection. So yeah, that was just a really fun project, really good production, great ear for beats. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Excellent. All right, so the last thing on your list is a duo, and it's called Hair, but it's spelled H31R. And the producer is Jay Words, and the rapper is Messiah.
Yeah, Hair is a talented Brooklyn-based duo. And I think what I like about Headspace, I want more rappers to try their hand over electronic beats, but not whatever subgenre of electronic you want to fall under. But I came away from this album just really wanting to hear more artists explore like that kind of production. I feel like the approach on Glitch and Time is replicated throughout the project, where Masai's rapping over these really dense electronic tinged productions with all this movement. Her cadence is really like steady and chill, which is an interesting, again, juxtaposition for me. Too much in a day. Tell me how it tastes. Oh, you really ate that, but not in a way. couple of my favorite tracks on the album that exemplify that are Train of Thought.
Into it, grabbing my rhymes if you want to get intimate. Son, I always a benefit. Fuck what you heard on the internet. I ain't eat dinner yet, but I'm so full of myself.
And Big Bang.
For a movement, son got a stiff. On to the next line, son got a shift. Now is the best time to be on your shit.
Where, like, just being really introspective, and she has this, like, really poetic spoken word-esque lyrical approach, and she's expressing that over J Word's electronic production. And then there's also Downbeat, which is another one of my favorite tracks on the project.
You've been finding nothing like me though. Many people want to be the villain, the peers tell me where you really fight me though. Oh, I ain't think so, damn, but I bet they still want to put
this up. Time it features Quelle Chris, who's one of the few features on the album, and he approaches the beat with this kind of elongated flow, which is like bouncing off of the composition in a really cool way. So overall, I really enjoyed the album. I think it's one of the most intriguing examples of a rapper exploring electronic sounds without sacrificing their substance or their technical lyricism. So I appreciate it for that as well.
Perfect. If I asked you, like, of the mainstream stuff, what was your favorite?
I don't know. This year, there wasn't a lot of great mainstream albums. I'll say some other albums that might have made this list, but just didn't make the list. There's Offset, Set It Off, Quavo, Rocket Power, Key Glock, Glaucoma, Rod Wave, Nostalgia. Yeah, Rod Wave is one of those artists I really got to tap into. I want to go to a live show to see what the experience is. I saw he did a show at the Barclays in November. And he's one of these artists that you don't necessarily always hear about collaborating with the biggest artists. He just does his own thing in his own lane, but he has like a huge fan base. He always does like really good numbers. So he just does really good numbers. So I want to go to a live show this year and just see what the experience is and see what the fans are getting from him.
Thanks again to Andre, and here's my conversation with Manka Perkante, who made some amazing picks in Afropop, R&B, hip-hop, and more. Let's start with that album by Mr. Easy. It's called Evil Genius.
I love this album. So Mr. Easy, like when Afrobeat started to become more mainstream in the U.S., Mr. Easy was really at the forefront of that. He had this really popular song. At this point, it's probably been like maybe a decade or so, called Legover.
As long as you give me my passion, baby, make you know they rush me. I beg you, make you treat me with
cold. And Skin Tight. Two popular songs. And he actually just released his debut album, though he's had this decade-long career. He considers all his prior projects mixtapes. And so for this album, The Evil Genius, each of the songs have a piece of physical art that he commissioned to go with them. And so he enlisted 13 artists from all over Africa. They represent 8 African countries. And I thought it was really well done. It was honestly one of my favorite bodies of work since Burna Boy's African Giant, as far as like in the like Afro beats or Afro pop space, because it is so instrumental. It's so lush. I love a lot of the like upbeat, more laid back stuff on the album. It seems like Easy is really settling into his era of knowing who he is and what he's accomplished. And so one of the songs along those lines features Joe Boy, who is a mentee of his, a younger Afro pop star, and it's called Zuzu Lakate.
I'm a lady, she dey give me company. Wahala no go kill somebody. Hola. Tell me I know they fight nobody.
When I was talking, I talked to Mr. Easy about this album. And so he was inspired. I think he reminded me a lot of Jay-Z. Music mogul, pivoted into the art world, really developed like a hobby and love around fine art. And so this album really gave me like these vibes. And so he actually told me in an interview that he was, a long time ago, he was really moved by Jay-Z's music video for his song Picasso Baby, in which he was doing Jay-Z, his own take on performance art, by rapping for 6 hours in an art gallery.
Can you turn it up a little more? I just want a Picasso.
Another great song on there is Good Lovin'.
She only want to dance. She says she wants just love and affection.
Yeah, so I thought that this song was cool because one of his breakout songs, Skin Tight, features this Ghanaian singer named Effia. And I got to see her this winter in Ghana perform live at this amazing music festival called Afro Future that's happened there over the past few years. And so they reunited Mr. Easy and Effia on this song, Good Lovin', which is actually a more of a reggae song. But I think that there's always been like this deep and important cultural exchange between Africa and the Caribbean. And so I thought that Mr. Easy played with that flavor really well here.
So yeah, next up is Adekunle Gold, Tequila Ever After.
Adekunle Gold is an incredible singer. He's very emotional, vulnerable, sensual. And he's also an incredible live performer, I think, because he really throws a lot of himself into his shows. And I think you can feel that in his album that came out last year, Tequila Ever After. He went about calling himself Tio Tequila. And so this is like a continuation of that identity. And I think that one of my favorite songs on the album is like really a celebration of all that he's accomplished as well. It was one of my favorite songs last year. Similarly to Easy and all the things that he's also, all the resilience that he's had and getting to the point that he is, he lives with sickle cell and growing up, he grew up in Nigeria. For a lot of people, that can be a very rough experience. But this song, Falling Up, is so celebratory. And it also features Pharrell and Nile Rodgers. So it's a really cool collaboration across the diaspora, across different generations of music. Like all three of them represent such different generations in Black music.
Another great song on there is Look What You Made Me Do, not to be confused with the Taylor Swift song, for sure. Ooh, look what you made me do.
This song is really cute to me because it's a duet with his wife, Simi, who is also a popular Nigerian singer. And so this song just gives me butterflies and makes me feel really happy.
Yeah, we've talked about DeVito before. He's a great artist. The album is called Timeless.
Yeah, this album was actually due a lot sooner than when it actually was released last year. DeVito and I had talked at Something in the Water, Pharrell's Music Festival in D.C. in 2022. And he was looking forward to releasing his album very soon after that. Unfortunately, that fall, he lost one of his children. His toddler son drowned in an accident in their family pool. And so there was a bit more of a delay with the music. But then what ended up happening is he scrapped the album that he had before and completely re-recorded it. So even the single that was released before, Stand Strong, which is also a testament to a lot of other losses he suffered in his life, his mother, his friends, that was not included on Timeless. A lot of the music on Timeless is actually really celebratory, very vibrant, very joyful, so much so that some people were like, why isn't this a sad album? Why isn't there grief on this album? But I actually thought it was a really radical approach to life after tragedy. And it's a brilliant album from top to bottom. There's a lot of influence on Amapiano, even though DeVito is really an Afrobeats artist. There's some collaboration with some South African artists as well who are closer to that scene. Though Unavailable is the big hit from this album. It's nominated for the first ever Grammy for African music performance this year. It is like a Afrobeat / Amapiano song, had a viral dance and like movement alongside it this or last year. But I think the better song and another really popular song on the album is called Heal. I guess Feel is just, it's a bit like, it's not, it doesn't feel as heavy or as intense as Unavailable. I think that the air of levity around it while still playing into like club culture, party music is something that I really like.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The decision was based on finding there is a
likelihood. So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen. Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
And this one's a whole different thing. John Wells, The Apprehension of John Wells.
Yeah, so that is a rap album from a white American rapper named John Wells. He's from the Baltimore area, and he reps it super hard. And this was an artist that I found last year just like on Twitter. He had a Colors-esque performance video of him doing this song of his that's on this album called I Spot a Rat.
And I did, and now Johnny's an evil genius. When his money come, I blame y'all. Don't get it the same as y'all, but still I'm thinking of it with the same regards, I swear to God.
It took me a second to figure out if I liked it or not, because I love how soulful the production was. I liked how conversational and intricate his rapping was, but I wasn't 100% sold. And I also think that because white rap can be such like a novelty in the hip hop space and get like undue or over attention sometimes, I really was like, I took a second to be like, do I actually like this? Or is it just interesting that a white man is doing this? And I actually got to know John. I listened to a lot more of his music, and the whole album deals with John processing and living through the death of his father, who succumbed to illnesses after a lifetime of addiction. And so one of the most impressive songs is called No Drugs in Heaven. And for like almost 7 minutes, he's just rapping his dad's life story as if he was his father.
Wow.
They was both from Jefferson Street, by the block away from the hospital that Al Capone had died. And when my daddy was about to be two, his mama was an immigrant to die.
And oh man, Jordan Ward Ford really liked this one.
Yeah, Jordan Ward, I think, is a star. I think that he's so charismatic. He's so funny. And for him to channel that into R&B, I think is so interesting. I also think it's interesting that his R&B is not love songs. There are a lot of artists who dabble with other themes, but R&B, I think, is known for being a genre seated in matters of the heart. He has a song called Fam Jam, which is one of my favorites. So I just think every song on this album is super special, super unique. I can't really point to an artist who is doing it like Jordan Ward right now.
Yeah, Fam Jam has, it's what I would call a roller skating jam. It has that kind of like super throwback, really good song.
Yeah, super good.
Oh, and then this song, Think Twice.
He's talking about like feeling insecure, feeling unsafe, feeling vulnerable as like a young man and like a young black man in particular.
Fighter, I don't want to fight, but you could lose your life.
Oh, and so Naomi Sharon, really interesting because she sounds a lot like Sade. The album,
yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. The world could use more stuff along those lines. And the album is Obsidian, and it's not a ripoff of Sade, but it's, I would say, thoroughly in that vibe.
Yeah, I think her song on, she released an album last year called Obsidian, right? And there's a song on it called Definition of Love. And if you like shuffled it with Sade and put it on for someone who didn't really know who Sade was, I'm sure they would think it was by the same artist.
Definition of love, how I'm rested. Do you know for sure that you are?
And it's, I think as someone who did not grow up in like a Sade household, I really like her approach because it like gives a modern spin, even though Sade's music in and of itself is like timeless, but it really gives a modern spin. I also think in particular because Sade, as we know, is Nigerian and British, but Naomi Sharon really leans into a lot of Afro production throughout this album, Obsidian. There's even a really great song called Push with Omale, who is like an Afrobeat star. He makes far more melancholy music than I think what is like the norm in that space. But I think that when they worked together on this song, Push, it really gave the album's Afro indebtedness a sense of authenticity and connection that I think it needed.
When you touch my body, I feel it in my soul. Come give me.
Naomi Sharon herself is reportedly Dutch and Caribbean, although in most of the interviews or profiles I've seen of her, they don't say where in the Caribbean her origins are. But I think it's cool. I think that the sound is really cool. It's unique. She's also the first woman signed to Drake's OVO label. And I think that it's interesting that they're not leaning on the Drake cosign so much in pushing her music. I think that some people are a little bit, I saw a tweet actually where someone was like, all these people are trying to be Sade when we already have Sade. And so I don't know if everybody feels that way. But again, as someone with a little more distance from her music, I definitely don't mind either.
They're like, we have Sade at home.
Yeah, we have Sade at home is crazy. But that's so funny.
You get this a lot in other genres. There's infamously, there's a band called Greta Van Fleet that is just a, seems to be like a Xerox of Led Zeppelin and drives people crazy. But this is, I think, like you said, much more elegant than that. She's clearly a huge fan. She's even covered Sade. It's not like a secret. She's not hiding the influence, but it is modernized. And it's just, Sade had one of the greatest and most unique feels to her music ever. It's great that someone's picking up on that. I have absolutely zero problem with it. And the fact is, the songs are good. If the songs weren't good and unique, then it might be a problem.
But. Yeah, I think that like a song that gives her a little bit more of like her own identity to me is this really beautiful stripped, more traditional indie R&B song on her album called Regardless.
I left the world behind. Oh, I told the stars you're.
And that to me didn't necessarily just feel like I was listening to someone who sounded like Sade. It felt like I was listening to Naomi Sharon.
This album's pretty incredible, actually. Leon Thomas, Electric Dusk. Really musical and interesting album.
Yeah, and I think it's so cool, especially as someone who was a kid in like the 90s and early 2000s, to see these people. Like, we had our era of Disney Channel pop stars like Miley Cyrus, Selena Gomez, yeah, etc., who are now like superstars. And I think that the generation right below me is getting that in people like Leon Thomas. I think maybe Ariana Grande, who is a close friend and collaborator to Leon Thomas, is like a bridge. But Leon Thomas got his start as an actor on the Nickelodeon show Victorious, which was about a bunch of musical kids at a really cool musical school. And he is just incredible. He most recently got a lot of acclaim for his production contributions to Snooze by SZA, co-writing that song, working on that song with her. He has a really amazing cover of him singing Snooze on his guitar. Which brings me to Electric Dusk, which is very guitar driven because he's an incredible player. And I think he bridges the worlds of like drama and music here on this album because of Dusk is actually the name of a movie theater, like a storied old drive in LA. And so he takes a very cinematic approach to this album. One of my favorite songs on it is called Blue Hundreds, and it's like a rock song. I could almost feel it in like a Tarantino movie, even though Leon definitely leans into the soul and like R&B lanes a lot more often. But I think this song kind of bridges the relationship between like rock and R&B really well.
Prince would like this album for sure.
Oh, wow. I'm sure Leon would love to hear you say that. I hope he gets to hear this. Yeah, it's incredible, like just from top to finish. And it's, I also like how unexpected one of the collaborations was. Like there's a Benny the Butcher feature on this song, X-Rated. But you're a borderline young alcoholic. And it's like Benny, not only is it Benny the Butcher on this album, but it's also like the things that Benny is saying. Like he's looking at both sides of how dating can be really transactional. And I just think, especially with so much of the album is about Leon's trials and tribulations, finding love in Hollywood. I just thought it was like such a great unexpected touch.
You also wanted to talk about some songs.
Yeah, I think especially because I listen to so much African music in particular. And I think there's even just the way that music is going these days. You're more likely to get a really incredible song from an artist than an album, right? I think that there's so much emphasis on producing and putting things out and staying in the conversation. And it's much easier to do that with songs than albums.
Yeah, you're not wrong. There's actually two. Is it Odile and Brazy Made Be Easy?
Yeah, I mean, I think the cool thing about that song is so Odile is a UK singer, leads into R&B, spent some time growing up in Nigeria until as recently as 2017-ish. Brazy is a Nigerian rapper, and she can also perform in a ton of other languages. Like she knows French and in some other languages as well. And so Odile's song Be Easy samples Brazy's song Tong.
I
which we have on Rolling Stone's list of the greatest Afropop songs of the year of 2023. Brazy and Aton is on there. And he loved the song so much that even though it's like a relatively new song, he sampled it and then credited her for the sample. So that hook is from her song.
That's really interesting.
I think that it's a similar thing that sort of Naomi Sharon has done and that a lot of artists are doing, is like marrying Afro percussion, the drum patterns, the polyrhythmic drumming with different types of music. And so I think that it gives me almost like Frank Ocean-y R&B with an Afro through line.
If we had to pinpoint the sort of micro genre that the beat itself belongs to.
Man, I don't know. I really don't know. Like, it's not really Afro beats in, I think, the traditional sense. But even that is such an umbrella that, like, there are only so many definitive characteristics of it. A lot of times people are just like labeling pop music from West Africa as Afro beats. So I think this really feels more like a hybrid of like R&B dance and Afro pop.
I couldn't quite nail down exactly what to call it.
Yeah, and I think that's true for a lot of people all over the world, right? Like, people are moving away from making music that like nicely fits into one genre.
This one really stood out to me. The rapping on it is insane. And the artist is Sabi Wu, right?
Yeah, Sabi Wu is a Kenyan rapper. And this song, Mina Wewe, bridges Nairobi hip hop and also very much like Jersey, Philly, Baltimore club rap. Which has had such a moment in the US over the past couple of years. I think that like culminating in Uzi's Just Wanna Rock, for example, like things in like that vein. Shorty got that body out of the eye. It also reminds me too of some of the more up-tempo like drill rap that has pulled from that type of production as well. And so this next song is also one that I heard for the first time through one of our contributors to our Afropop list, Mazaza Mia, who always brings us amazing insights and reporting and perspective from South Africa. And so this is a song called Kavalungo, and it is crazy. Like, the drums in it are crazy. The chorus in it, there's like almost a choir type singing happening. And so it's by an artist named Tebza the DJ. And so he is taking vocals and a melody from a traditional South African song, but he's making it into this amapiano hit. And it doesn't sound a lot like other amapiano that I've heard. And amapiano can sound a million different ways. It can be darker and more techno feeling. It can be jazzy. It can be spiritual sounding. It can be like really club oriented. It can be romantic. There are a lot of different approaches to amapiano, but this, I think, with the traditional edge to it, it really like hit me in my chest. And so he uses a sample to make the song, but there was a copyright dispute. And so it wasn't on streaming platforms for a while. So he ended up re-recording and re-releasing it. And it still had the nostalgia to it. And it still had this traditional bend to it. And it's just one of any genre, one of the best songs that I heard last year.
Yeah, for sure. And then the next one comes from a bit of a different place. It's Daddy by Sexy Red and Tokisha.
Yeah, this song is great. And I would have never thought that they would make a song together. But once you hear it, it's, oh, duh. Our senior editor, Julissa Lopez, wrote a really great profile of Tokisha in 2022, called her Latin music's leading provocateur. Tokisha is very sexual. She was a sex worker at some point. She is very flagrant and out there with who she is. And that's just that attitude of sexual empowerment, of not giving a fuck, is like totally aligns with Sexy Red. And so this song is rap, dembo, house, voguing song all together. And the music video is hilarious. Tokisha plays a guy, essentially Sexy Red's trick. And they just have an amazing chemistry. And I really would love to see like more like crossover between Latin artists and like rap, like American rappers or rappers who primarily rap in English. Like, I think that would just be so cool based on hearing this, particularly amongst like the women.
Yeah. And the next one, an amazing song, is called Find the Bag.
I'm really glad you liked it. I came across this song because the rapper that's featured on it, Baby.com, is close to someone that I know, and I'd never really heard her music. And this is not her primarily her song. This is a Parisian producer who perhaps they pronounce their name NXS or NXS. It's spelled with 5 X's in the middle. And so I was reading up on them, and they were, according to Pitchfork, like a pioneer in a SoundCloud scene called Funk, P-H-O-N-K, in the early 2010s. And I think it's characterized by like dreamy, spacey production, but it also has Memphis and Texas rap influences under it. And so Baby is just rapping so cool, but so hard at the same time. It's like very like playful, hyper feminine, a lot of shit talking. So some other songs that I really loved last year, one is called Girl Next Door, and it's by two artists who really had amazing years, although I don't know that this song got as much shine as like their individual works. One is Tyla, who is also nominated for the inaugural African Music Performance Grammy for her song Water, which everyone knows and loves. I keep my cool, but tonight I'm lying. I'ma be. But she worked with a really close friend of hers who is Ira Starr, who I've talked about probably on this podcast before and have written a lot about for Rolling Stone. Tyla is a South African singer. Ira Starr is a Nigerian singer. She signed to this very storied Nigerian label called Maven that brought us Uwa Savage, and Rema is her label mate as well there. And I think their style, like Gen Z, like It Girl, really complements each other. And I think that this collaboration between the two of them is really sweet and shows off both of their capacities and like what they're both really great at.
And you didn't talk about Terminator, if you wanted to talk about that.
Yeah. Okay. So Terminator is a great song by a Ghanaian singer named King Promise. The remix of it features a Nigerian producer, performer named Young John. And when I spent time in West Africa this winter, it was everywhere. King Promise even has his own festival in his native Nigeria called Promised Land. But I think that this is the biggest King Promise song that I've known up to date, even though he's been making music for quite a few years. And it's really inspirational. It's uplifting. It's airy. It's bright. It's sunny. It was such a good soundtrack to that time of year there, which like the festive season. A lot of folks from around the diaspora travel home or to visit West Africa in December. And so it was just really beautiful to hear this song everywhere.
I know you also really like an EP by Wizkid. It's called S2.
Yeah, I think that Wizkid has really leaned into in this like latter era in his over 10-year long career into making music that really melds into itself really well. So Made in Lagos, which was, I think, his big crossover breakthrough in the U.S., has like almost like a playlist feel to it, as we've been seeing lately, like Renaissance, right? Like that type of start to finish, top to bottom, every song works well with the next. And so his album More Love, Less Ego, which was his last album in 22, I don't think it had quite the movement behind it as Made in Lagos did. And I think that even though it still had amazing high quality music on it, I feel like the same thing has happened with S2, which is an EP that Wizkid released right at the end of last year. So I think S2 is a reference to Wizkid's Soundman EP, which he put out many years ago under the name Starboy, which is also like the label and like business dealings that he does. But it's great. It's really lush instrumental production. I think it's Wizkid doing what Wizkid is best at, being coolly inspirational, uplifting, cooler than you, but not necessarily just like rubbing it in your face for bragging's sake. It features an OG in the Afro beats and the Afro R&B space, Wande Cole, as well as a newer artist, Latan. And I really enjoyed riding around to it before I got on my flight to Ghana last year.
And that's our show. We'll be back next week. In the meantime, subscribe to Rolling Stone Music now, wherever you get your podcasts. And please leave us 5 stars and a nice review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, because that's always appreciated. But as always, thanks so much for listening, and we will see you next week.